For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Back and well rested from a long Labor Day weekend. Jim Costa with John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov, and Greg behind the glass. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. How was your Labor Day? Obviously, you were not laboring on Labor Day.
No, got to rest and relax a little bit. Went to Arts Beats and Eats over the weekend in Royal Oak. Watched as much football as I could possibly contain.
Yeah.
A handle. It was beautiful.
Uh-huh. And any good performances at Arts Beats and Eats?
Gin Blossoms.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gin Blossoms on Sunday.
Ruby was there. I made her leave just before. They're like, Dad, I got to stay. No, you need to start heading home. So that was not a great dad moment. But Heather, how was yours?
It was wonderful. Yeah. We had an amazing weekend. We also went to Arts Beats and Eats. We did not stay for the music, though. We ended up doing the carnival. Emily went on her first carnival rides because she's tall enough. And then there was bounce houses. Those were a big hit for Emily as well.
Sure.
So we actually didn't take in any music. We did eat.
What did you eat?
Fried Oreos.
Well, I guess we all didn't eat. They ate. I kind of just perused. I didn't eat anything.
You didn't do anything at an event called Arts Beats and wait for it, Eats?
No. Well, so I did the arts, I guess.
Not everybody
you didn't even
serves
do the beats?
Meat.
No, we didn't even. No, they were all it's all fair food, I felt like mac and cheese. Like it was just
everybody
nothing.
Had a mac and cheese. Yes.
They were all mac and cheese everywhere. And I was like, I don't want mac and cheese.
They also had, now John, have you done this? Like a whole turkey leg.
Oh, yeah.
You got like a medieval sized turkey leg.
Yes, I have. Yeah. And I never in my life again will I. About 15 years ago, give or take, at this point. It was at the Colossus 4th of July celebration. I was walking around feeling very caveman-esque, holding my turkey leg, eating it. And then for 3 days after that, a couple of trips to the ER, a couple of uncomfortable tests. Yes. I had food poisoning that was awful. Awful.
So never
you went
again.
To the ER over it?
Oh, yes. Yes.
This is like critical food poisoning.
Oh, yes. It was.
You didn't have a tapeworm or anything, did you?
Well, there was wondering. I mean, they were trying to figure out what was going on. But yes, I was. It was so bad, too, because we're trying to buy my parents a new couch at the time. And so, after like the day after, I'm starting to feel bad, and we're around this we're on 14 Mile. I think there used to be an Art Van there, walking around the furniture store, and I'm literally every 5 minutes heading to the restroom, and the guy that's helping my mom is like, hey, is that guy okay? No, he's not. And I literally I didn't have the energy to get out of bed. So that's when they're like, hey, we need to
go to the doctor. Get that checked out.
Yikes.
Yeah. So no more turkey legs for me. Yeah. No. Not unless it's deep fried, baby.
So I want to get back to Heather. So no beats and no eats, but you saw some art.
I guess you'd consider it.
Okay.
We did the carnival rides basically and walked around.
What did she think of the rides?
She liked them. I was going to say she loved them. She's so shy. She won't really speak up if she doesn't love something. Like she looked like she liked them. Okay. She had fun. When I asked her about them, she liked them. She liked the cars that went in a circle the most, which is the most basic kid ride.
Sure.
But I took her on the pirate ship that swings back and forth. I'm like, put your hands up. She's like, oh my God. She seemed to have fun though.
That's awesome.
She liked the bounce house the most.
Funnel cake for her? Elephant ear? What kind of carnival food?
We told her we were going to get elephant ears, but we never really got any. No, she got she likes pulled pork. So we did.
I love this.
We
kid.
Did pulled pork.
I love this. I love the fact that you're okay with her eating things that you're not comfortable with.
Yes. So no, she and Colin ate. They took in the food.
Good.
Yes. Pulled I pork. Just observed.
Any chance she had a Twisket?
No, what is that?
The Twiskit is maybe the greatest fair food ever. I had it at the Emmett County Fair up in Petoskey. It is a fried Twinkie split in half with either pulled pork or obviously the Twiskit has to be brisket. So it's a Twinkie and brisket. Oh, it was to die for. Unbelievable.
No, we'll pass on that.
I'm telling you. Well, she would like a Twinkie, right?
I'm sure she would like a Twinkie.
And
she's never had one.
If she likes pulled pork, she might like brisket.
She probably would.
Two great things together. How could you go wrong?
Seems gross, but I'm sure she would like it.
It seems gross.
That's very fair food, John. That is right out of a fair.
Oh, yep. Absolutely. Yeah. And cheese fries on the side. Yeah. This was the prime Fat John, era, which you can imagine. Yes.
No longer. There were some comments Tom was making pre-show. Yeah. You and Doug on a little TV looking slim, trim.
Oh, appreciate it. Yeah. I'm cautious in my weight loss now just because I don't want to be small, John.
So
I don't want to be fat, John, but I don't want to be small, John.
You don't want to be like this small guy.
Yeah. I don't think you ever will be because you're so tall.
You don't want to be frail.
Although, yeah, you don't want to be like a skinny little guy, like beanpole. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. So I was watching, we went out to eat yesterday, and Michigan Replay was on right before the Tiger game on Bally's. I don't usually watch Michigan Replay, but if it's on, I'll watch it. Look, I did not mean it that way.
No, you're in church. You're usually in church when it's on live.
We have tons of stuff going. I don't have time in my life for Michigan Replay. I can barely watch the games.
It's a bunch of propaganda I wouldn't watch anyway.
It's but inside anyways. Michigan football now. Michigan Replay.
All right. Brian, he's still there. Yeah. All right. So anyways, I look up and notice it was on. And he's on the field, John is, with Doug. Doug's wearing a tie.
Of course, yes. That's what Sue set out for him.
And John, I just looked, and I'm like, John looks really good. And I thought I had the phrase, you look TV slim. Meaning Whoa. TV usually makes you look bigger. Yeah. And you actually just look, you look solid, man. And I was like, I work with you every day, and I don't even notice that. And I'm like, wow.
Oh, it's like the kids, right? As they're growing, and for those of us that are trying to lose weight, when we're shrinking, when you see everybody on a day-to-day basis, you don't notice it until there's a different, there's something that changes. Obviously, TV was the change, so thank you.
And I think a lot of it, too, is like the other times I've seen that show over the last few years, like you were on Zooms and stuff, COVID things and stuff.
Zeroed in on your face. Yeah, you're like, man, that face looks huge.
So, head. Don't lose too much more.
Cranium. Yeah, we'll see. I don't want to be small, John. I've established that, but
well, we don't want you to get sick, skinny.
No.
Well, you've reached the point too where it's more about like not necessarily the number on the scale, because if you bulk up a little bit, the number will go up, but you could be in great shape anyway.
There we go. It's my favorite song. That's my intro. Whenever I do any spots on Sirius XM, they always play that one for me.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay, we have a lot to do today, and it's not going to be to
wide
break down
at the shoulders, narrow at the hips,
breaking down John's
Big
body
job.
Composition.
Yes,
2 Grand Slam on a Tuesday. That's right. This is weird for everybody. Today is Tuesday. You're coming back from a long weekend. Today is Tuesday. 7:25. A chance to win $2,000 this morning with us. We're going to talk a lot about Michigan football. Talk a lot about the Spartans. Talk a lot about college football. Greg Palm at 6:35. How does Week 1 alter the rankings? How far up does Notre Dame move going on the road to the SEC?
That's a big win.
USC, what happens with them? Picking up a big win to kick off the season. New Big Ten team looking the part. Lot to get to. John, just real quick, some college football broad takeaways.
Florida State blows.
0-2.
And honestly, everybody is there to make plays except one. And I don't know what has happened to DJU. He wasn't even this bad when he was at Clemson. And we know what he was able to do. But it was 10 wins last year for Oregon State. Yeah. Now he transfers down to Florida State. And there was a series where they had the ball first and goal on the 5-yard line. He missed a wide open receiver in the back corner. And then there was a tipped ball that I thought his receiver, who was wide open in the back of the end zone, could have made a better effort for. It just was a comedy of errors. And I am shocked that they have lost two in a row, especially to Georgia Tech and Boston College.
Preseason top 10 team starts 0-2. You realize why?
I've been there. Yes, this Michigan team has surpassed what we did following our 97 championship. We went 0-2 with Syracuse and Notre Dame.
Okay, so this it happens.
It happens. Yeah, they can recover. Sure. Okay. We had a share of the Big Ten that year.
But you see why DJU is on his third team in three seasons.
It's pretty obvious.
And it didn't hit me until you just said it. Is it more impressive Jonathan Smith won 10 games last year with this guy at quarterback, all things considered? It
could be.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they got work to do in East Lansing, but yeah. Florida State stuck out to me 0-2. The Big Ten 17-1 as a conference. The one loss was Minnesota. Not all 17 wins were pretty. SEC, big spot for Georgia to roll up on Clemson. But other than that, the SEC did not look good in the marquee matchups.
Well, and for Georgia and Clemson, I was thinking, you know, we get to halftime, it was 6-0. Like, okay, is Clemson a little bit better than we thought, or is Georgia not as good? And then obviously, you know, two touchdowns in the third, two touchdowns in the fourth, and, you know, that's all she wrote. But it simply took them a minute to find their rhythm, find their mojo, and I mean, look out now, because they found it, and it's Katie barred the door.
Right, and that was down to their third and then fourth string running back, and yeah, and they settled in. It took them a little bit. Yeah. And for Dabo, the story is no starters from the transfer portal in the last 6 years.
Right.
I'm not saying they win the game if they use the portal, but I mean, their program has become incredibly stale, and he deserves all the criticism because he's failed to adapt.
Right, and we'll talk about Michigan and the transfer portal. We talked about it a little bit last week about the quarterback situation, and that conversation is yet to come today. But Michigan has at least supplemented. I think they're the program that looks and says, hey, we're going to supplement with an offensive lineman. We'll supplement with a linebacker, defensive backs. We've seen that work very well for Michigan, but to not dip your toe in the transfer portal to, whether it's complement what you've already recruited or to go out there and improve on your roster. I mean, Dabo has been very vocal about the whole transfer portal as well as NIL.
Well, it's his own fault then that the program in the last 4 or 5 years has taken a big step back, and especially the last year and a half here. Whether it's a receiver, a guard, just somebody, safety, somebody to help fill in the gaps along the way, your competition's using the portal, and if you're not going to, you're at a disadvantage, and this is what happens to Clemson. They went 4-4 in the ACC last year.
What do you think of Oregon?
So I didn't see the game. I saw the box score, and it almost doesn't make sense to me that, like, Dylan Gabriel threw for like 400 yards, and they only scored 24 points. It's like a math equation. How did they produce that amount of yardage without that many points?
Up and down the field inside the 20s.
Yeah, I know.
Can't seal the deal.
It's not a great start for them. Miami, how real is this? I know the ACC down overall. Miami, big time wallop at the Swamp against Florida.
Yeah, you want to talk about a guy that threw for almost 400 yards, Cam Ward. He looked damn good.
Say, speaking of the portal.
Yeah,
right?
He looked damn good in regards to, I mentioned it yesterday. I know you weren't here, but the arm angles that he was using, sidearm to get the ball out, you know, down the field. I mean, he looked polished and everything you would want your quarterback to be, especially if you're going to go pay that much money for it.
We have a quick ticket text. Heather, was Colin tall enough to go on all the rides?
You know what? He didn't go on any rides. Maybe that was the reason.
Maybe it's the reservation. Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to get turned away. All right, 248-539-9797. Some college football takeaways. Greg Palm at 6:35. We will dive deeper into Michigan at 6:50 this morning. A lot to talk about with the opening performance from the Wolverines. Little Tiger baseball next, 97.1.
AC went out a year ago, and I called Mastercraft Heating and Cooling, and it was great. They were there the very next day, gave me an estimate. They told me exactly what was going to be best for our house and the way the house was built. They're experts at heating and cooling, also plumbing and electrical, and they've got all the best equipment and prices, but the biggest difference is the customer service. They also have a 5-year warranty, so I know I'm covered for whatever happens in the next 5 years. Call Mastercraft for your heat, AC, plumbing, or electrical, even generators. And if your power went out last week and you're thinking about a generator, again, got to give Mastercraft Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical a call. Tell them John Jansen sent you for up to $500 off fast insulation. Same day service. That's MastercraftHeating.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Tigers shutout lose to the Padres, kicking off a series out in San Diego. West Coast swing. John, as we check the standings, 5 games out of the wild card.
And what's painful is Kansas City has lost 6 in a row. Everybody lost last night except the Twins. And now Kansas City is the team that is right at the cut line, and you had a chance to make up a game. And it feels exhausting because you're looking at every single game and you're hoping that they, you know, quote unquote, win out. It's not going to happen. They win a series against Boston, and even though they lost 2 in a row, you know, with the final game of the series, and then obviously the first game of the Boston series, you're looking at it going, you know, the final series with Los Angeles. Oh man, they could be there, and every loss seems like it is so painful right now. But that's the beauty of almost being in a playoff race,
a pseudo race,
yeah,
kind of chase. We stay begging for them to get within 3 games because yeah. Then it'll feel like, hey, in any minute now they can close the gap. They stay just on the outside. We wanted to see them win the Boston series. They did, but we knew you were going to need help, and you're not always guaranteed that help. Like, the idea here is the Tigers are likely going to need to get to 86, 87 wins. And you start looking at the schedule, and there are wins, yeah. but are you going to win 2 of every 3 the rest of the way? I think that's a tall task.
And for a team that's been very opportunistic, for the most part, you know, you get 3 hits against Boston and you win 4-1, and you leave 10 in scoring position against the Angels in another game, and you score 1. Like, it's, for the most part, they have been opportunistic. And then yesterday, obviously, only 6 hits, and you're looking at it going, well, there's no offense. Okay, yeah, but that's kind of been their recipe all season long. There have, since the All-Star break, since the trade deadline, they've been more offensive.
Mm-hmm.
But it, and that's translated to more wins. It's just too little, too late. And now they're going to be moments where they revert to what they have been all season long.
I think the best way to look at this is Cole Keith, right? Cole Keith has had what I think is a very typical rookie season.
Yeah.
Where there have been moments where you go, boy, I mean, major league pitching is tough. And there are moments where you think, there's something here.
Yeah.
That's the unevenness of having a young baseball team. And it's not a surprise that as hot as they were maybe a week ago, 10 days ago, teams adjust. It's the adjustment to the adjustment. September is not a guarantee. Next season is not a guarantee, which is why you reinforce this, which is why you give these guys the rest of this month to learn. You give them next year to learn, but you also help them next season too.
Got to.
Have to.
Follow through.
248-539-9797. Yes, follow through, John. It's going to be a theme all winter long. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, shots rang out on Saturday night from the parking lot outside of the Michigan State Fair in Novi. A 14-year-old boy was killed. Another 14-year-old boy was injured in the shooting. Police have identified the victim as Darian Davis, a sophomore at University High School in Ferndale. His friend was also injured. He is in the hospital in stable condition. Sounds like he is expected to survive. So far, a suspect has not been identified. And Novi police say that it all stemmed from an argument, they say, that occurred throughout last week in other communities and then carried over into their arrival at the state fair at the parking lot.
Right.
The victim's mother has spoken out basically saying, hey, we're pleading for answers. We know somebody knows something. There was a lot of people there. People were videotaping, or I guess people don't say that anymore. People were filming on their phones, right? Somebody knows who did this. And if you do know who did it, please come forward. You know, she said, obviously, this is never going to bring my son back, but we want justice and we want answers. So hopefully somebody who knows something will say something. Now, the fair did continue on after the shooting, but they did have some new restrictions in place, and they had more police on patrol as well over the weekend. It sounds like everything else Sunday and Monday went off just fine. The Detroit People Mover will be closed for 11 weeks starting today. So if you use it, be aware. Mm-hmm. It's closing down so that workers can replace sections of the track. So the goal is to extend the life, obviously, of the rail system. And the replacement track is expected to last at least 15 to 30 years. So long lifespan. This is the third rail replacement in the 37-year history of the Detroit People Mover. They do say at least one more of these projects is expected to take place 5 years or more in the future to replace any additional curve sections, they say. So, you know, got to get it done. You got to get everything fixed. You want things to last and work properly and look nice. So they say the work should wrap up before Thanksgiving.
Plan accordingly.
Yes, for sure. I've never done this, but totally would if I have the time. Thousands of Michiganders participated in the state's annual Mackinac Bridge Walk on Labor Day. I think it'd be kind of cool to do that. I've never, obviously, been across the bridge numerous times, but I've never walked on the bridge. I think it would be kind of neat. So the bridge closed down at 6:30 a.m. to all vehicle traffic, reopened at noon. There was 30,000 people that took part in this walk.
It's a cool thing to see.
Have you ever done it?
I've not done the walk. I've done the Memorial Day run across the bridge.
I've gone by foot.
Yes, across the bridge. It's really cool.
Now, do they have? Can you run anywhere or walk anywhere? Like, can you walk over the graded area where you can see down?
So for Labor Day, yes, because they closed the entire bridge down. For Memorial Day, you're only running on one side, and yes, you can run on the grade, but there's the middle lane. What's the paved lane?
Probably easier to run on.
Yeah, most people like the paved. I thought it was fun to run on the.
See, I would want to just to
be able to look down.
Yeah, have that experience of.
It's pretty cool. Yes,
I would think this is going to be it. Unless the one time it fails is going to be when I'm standing on it and I'm going down. Those would be my thoughts the entire. That's what I thought the whole time I was on the Ferris wheel. I was like, "This is it." Just took my daughter on her first ride, and we're going down.
Yeah, but the Ferris wheel, if it comes off, you're just going to roll.
Well, I'm coming. I mean, it depends where it comes off. Like, what if we're at the very top of the Ferris wheel and I just go all the way down, plummeting to my
death. Just single car comes off?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're screwed at that point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm looking down at the people who set the ride up, and I'm thinking, this is it. This is it, right?
Never look at who's operating any ride at the fair.
It's terrifying. Joey Chestnut and Kobayashi went head-to-head on Labor Day for the first time since 2009. It was on a live Netflix special called Chestnut versus Kobayashi, Unfinished Beef. And as you can imagine, it went probably the way you thought it would. Chestnut dominated. He scarfed down 83 hot dogs. 83 in less than 10 minutes. Kobayashi, 66.
Bum. 66 hot dogs in 10 minutes. I'm like, my goodness, that sounds painful.
Gosh, this was a personal record for Chestnut. So good for him. He took home $100,000.
8 hot dogs a minute.
So at one point, I just because I wanted to see it, I think it's when Joey had 72 or something like that. Yeah. I got 72 hot dogs, the ones that they were using, and set them next to the buns. And then I just sit there and I brought the kids in. I said, hey, can you imagine, where does that go? Just that mass.
I thought I saw they weighed him before and after.
Do you remember what the difference was?
Like 15 pounds.
I've got to look it up.
I'm going to look it up.
That's crazy.
It is.
That's crazy. Finally, there's a website called Finance Buzz, and they're looking for somebody that they can pay $1,000 who will go and try all the pumpkin-flavored products at Trader Joe's. So the people who love the pumpkin spice, this is for you. You just need to be 18 and up, and you need to live close enough to a Trader Joe's to shop in person. They're going to give you a $500 gift card so you can go and buy all the products.
Yeah.
And then you basically just have to rate them. Try them and rate them. It's pretty simple. You can go online. You have to apply for this job. So if you'd like to, go to their website.
Get the resume ready.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
What do you put on there?
Yeah.
Enjoys pumpkin
spice. Connoisseur. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Heather with the news. All right. Coming up next, we have Greg Palm. How high does Notre Dame move up after going to Texas A&M? Is this the last we see of Clemson? Miami, USC, do they make appearances? It's next. It's 97.1. Weekend is over. Let's check in on the latest show college football rankings. Greg, you have a real debate. How much do you react to week one?
That's a good question. I was wrestling that for a long time this past weekend. How much do I punish teams for looking not impressive? How much do I punish teams for just outright losing? How much do I reward teams for winning impressively, especially on the road? Great news about Greg Pound this week. We finally have what every scientist crave. We have data to work with. Now, it's not going to be all data. See, there is still going to be some hypothesis that is going to be mixed in with data, but we're just going to kind of slide that hypothesis further out the door the further in the season we get. So it's probably going to be mid-season, maybe early October before we get to all data here.
Week 5, week 6.
So let's start with the rankings. Number 12, we're going to put the Utah Utes at number 12. They took care of business against Southern Utah, got up big, probably got bored in the second half, took care of business. Interesting note, this week they have Baylor at home. It is the only conference game this week from anybody in the Greg Pomp top 12.
Oh, okay. All right.
Number 11, Missouri. Took care of business against Murray State, blew them out. Missouri's got a soft non-conference schedule, and I think they play Vanderbilt their first conference game, so we're not going to really find out about them until October. Number 10, the ACC rotating cast of characters in the Greg Pomp top 12. The U comes in at number 10. Impressive win in the swamp. Cameron Ward looking like an early season Heisman contender. That's to say the least, quite frankly.
Yeah. Some great numbers in some of the quarterbacks that you've already got in here. Cam Rising, obviously Cam Ward. Maybe it's the whole Cam thing.
And number 9, we have Penn State going into Morgantown. Took them a little bit of a while to get their offensive footing and exert their dominance against West Virginia, but they did it. Dreller played very well. Mm-hmm. Impressive road win. And Aller, he looked sharp. And the two backs looked the part. Nicholas Singleton, and Katron Allen.
Yeah. Think about this. Finally, some explosive plays out of that offense. Multiple 50-yard plays in the first half alone. They went all year with like 5.
Right, and this is, all three of those guys, juniors. This is that freshman class that came in 3 years ago that everybody was touting. Now they're starting to really pay off.
And that weather delay did not affect them.
No.
That was a chance for West Virginia to regain momentum. Penn State comes out in the second half and just takes it down the field.
Well rested.
All right, the middle four. Number 8. Holding firm at number 8 is Michigan, the Wolverines. I like to call that a 401k win that they had Saturday.
Yeah.
Not pretty. Just put it in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't look impressive now, but maybe by the time November rolls around, that win is going to look better and better. Look, Fresno State is expected to be comfortably in the top half of the Mountain West Conference standings.
They're a team that started out 8-1 last year.
Loveland and the defense look as advertised. That was Fresno State's lowest point total in a game since 2019.
Mm.
Quarterback play obviously has to be better, and the play calling has to reflect like you trust your quarterback more so. And then Edwards has to run better. He has to run tougher, and he has to be a more complete back. I think we're still seeing the elements of him that make him a more of a complementary back than a primary back.
Hand it to someone else.
Number 7, a bit of a tumble, the Oregon Ducks. I don't know how you go 41 for 49 out of the quarterback position for 380 yards and only win by 10 against an FCS team. They beat Idaho this weekend. Look, still had game control in that game. It only got as worse as about 80%, the little hump in the fourth quarter, early fourth quarter, when Idaho got close within 3 points. They're playing this week against Boise State, the odds-on favorite to win the Mountain West Conference. Can be a tricky game for them. If they beat Boise State, I think they have an opportunity to vault back into the top 4.
Sure.
Interesting game. I nearly made it the Greg Pomp game of the week, but it is not.
Mm.
Number 6, Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Hey, look. Nice win in a big environment, kind of like Michigan, where they used that dominant defense and not too impressive of an offense to really shut down Texas A&M. And, you know, Connor Wegman looks like he's going to be working at Wegman's after college.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
No, but
no separation on the outside for those receivers, though.
Right, but like Michigan, offensively, a brand new offensive line with a true freshman left tackle I like him. I like some of the things he's doing. There's obviously room for improvement, but that offensive line, if they can grow together, and they don't have a challenging schedule basically until they play USC at the end of the year.
Yeah, I thought their offensive line answered a ton of questions. Almost 200 yards rushing on the road against that front. I mean, that was eye-opening.
Yeah, you guys were saying it, I think John specifically, on Friday with the picks. Yeah, freshman, sophomore.
Yep.
Number five, Alabama. Took care of business against South Florida, took care of business against Western Kentucky. South Florida is this week. First real test is going to be at Wisconsin next week.
I really liked how Kalen DeBoer is allowing that team to play. He is not imposing his will on them. He is letting them, Jalen Milroe, he's letting him be himself and not trying to be Michael Penix, not trying to be quarterbacks that he's had before. He has taken the talent that he's inherited and coaching that, which I think is what good coaches have to do.
Top four here. Let's go to number four, Ole Miss Rebels. Once again, just like Alabama, they scored a lot and didn't allow any points against Furman. Middle Tennessee State coming up this weekend. I guess you can call that technically is an upgrade in competition, but still should not be challenged. Taking care of business, like again, just like Missouri, they've got an early and easy September. So let's see how they get through this month unscathed and then really turn up the heat here in October. Number three, Texas Longhorns. They are the only team in the top 12, the Greg Palm top 12, that is going on the road this week. And that's why it's the Greg Palm Game of the Week. This could be for a playoff spot. Look, you guys each had your playoff predictions before this season. Jim, you had Michigan out and Texas in. John, you had Michigan in and Texas out. This game could be the swing game in the playoff fates of both of these teams. Texas got in the CFP last year, remember, because they went on the road and beat Alabama. So when Alabama beat Georgia and they had the same record, you had to bring in Texas as well because they had that head-to-head against Alabama. So this is going to be a huge game, and this is why it's the Greg Palm Game of the Week.
Yeah, it'll be interesting at the end of the year because of the 12-team playoff, how much one game will make a difference, especially early in the year. I don't know how that is. I think either team could lose this. Obviously, it'd still be in the playoffs. But I think it makes it a lot harder for Michigan than it does for Texas.
Number two, and Ohio State University. Had a slow start versus Akron. Will Howard needed to get his feet wet a little bit there, get settled in the offense. He had some people cackling, especially with Kyle McCord playing really well for Syracuse. My friend was at that game.
Yes.
Just like Michigan, last 2 years, they've got a soft non-conference schedule. Kind of like Mizzou also this year. So, you know, take care of business. We'll see how you do coming in October. Number one, Georgia. They demonstrated the top of their game against Clemson. Clemson could not challenge them defensively. A lot of that, yes, is Clemson and the deficiencies that they have. But it was also Georgia. Big game, Georgia. Their 100 game is better than anybody's 100 game in the country. It's just a matter of getting them when they're not quite at 100.
Okay, my feedback for you, and this is your ranking. Penn State road win, Notre Dame big road win, Miami on the road win. I would put those teams higher, all of them, than you have them on here. Well, like, I'd have Penn State ahead of Michigan right now.
I could see why you would do that, but this is part data, part, theory?
Yes,
and hypothesis.
Hypothesis, and that's where, I mean, the most useless thing that we look at and we talk about is preseason top 25s, because you have no idea, especially between 18 and 22-year-olds, what's going to happen on a week-to-week basis, let alone year-to-year.
Like, you could say Notre Dame's number two right now in America. You could. They went in on a road game at night and won the game.
Sure.
You could argue them as high as number two.
Here's the theory behind it. I think Texas could have done that. I think Ole Miss could have done that. I think Alabama could have done that.
Well, when they do,
I think Ohio State could have done that.
When they do,
sure.
Then you move them up. Until they do, I would move them down. But I respect this. This is Greg Palm.
And I do.
This is what I would do.
Well, John, you're allowed to have an opinion too.
I would.
John, your name's on the show. You can have an opinion.
I would do this.
And I do appreciate that. Regarding Michigan, why I still kept them at number eight? They do have an elite unit with their defense. So I do have Michigan still at 8.
Yes.
No.
Yes. No. Don't. No. I don't. But
not elite.
To have an elite unit, that's something special.
And that is Greg Palm. It's 97.1. Doug Karsh on the call. John Jansen next to him in the booth.
Uh-huh.
In studio with us.
No cackle there.
On a Tuesday. Yeah, no cackle.
You know, trying to let the play-by-play guy have his moment.
Look at you.
Let the play breathe. Learning.
It also wasn't exactly a game for cackles. And Michigan was sweating it out with Fresno State.
Yeah. Well, there was no point at the end of that game. I know it was, 16-10?
Yeah, one-score game point. In the second half.
I mean, I felt like they were going to lose, but not confident that they were playing good enough to be a playoff team.
Right, that was my takeaway, too, is it didn't look good enough. It was good enough to beat Fresno State. It's not good enough to achieve the goals and the standards at Michigan.
No, and it's a kind of a lesser version of what we saw last year. And that is a team that is going to rely on the run, take their shots occasionally down the field. And I mean, tell me if you've heard this conversation before. You want to see your quarterback unleash the ball and complete it to a wide receiver for more than 20 yards and not just rely on the run or on your defense. But that's the blueprint that has been Michigan football for the past couple of years. And it's the blueprint that we saw on Saturday. Just enough to win.
Enough against Fresno.
Right. That was the opponent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So enough to win.
Yes. They're going to play better teams than Fresno State. Probably four or five teams better than Fresno State this season.
And I don't hopefully know. They do enough to win. But,
sure.
But that's the word that you have to put in front of it is hopefully they do enough to win.
This quarterback thing. We talked about it a little bit on Friday. I had concerns that they had not yet picked a quarterback. You had assured me, well, they've got their guy. John, they're playing two quarterbacks still.
Well, it's the same thing they did last year.
No, it's not the same thing they did last year. J.J. McCarthy played the vast majority of snaps. Orgy's playing more now than he did last year because Davis Warren is a former walk-on and isn't J.J. McCarthy. There is a drop-off at quarterback from last year to this year.
Well, I'm not going to argue that. J.J. was a top 10 pick.
Right.
So, there's going to be a drop-off.
And they were complacent this offseason and decided to roll these two out here and, as of now, still do not have a settled quarterback position.
I think it's fairly settled.
Oh, no, that's not good then. If this is the settled quarter, 120 yards from Davis Warren against Fresno State and Alex Orgy, who can't make a completion to the out routes, turfing the ball on the out routes, that's not good.
Right. Well, so, it's settled. I mean, you may not like the settlement, but it's settled. Yeah, I mean, you saw Alex Orgy, no pressure, wide open Fred Moore, and boom, you bounce the ball to him.
So that's a concern.
So don't tell me there's a quarterback debate. And I know that there were some fans that were booing every time Orgy would come out because you like the excitement of him being in there. And now it's going to be a matter of how do they work within the system to take advantage, because you can't just have a quarterback that goes in and runs as many times as he did. Because when he comes in, what do? You load up the box and you make a hard edge so that he can't keep it.
Well, it's why when he came into the first touchdown drive in the red zone, they threw everybody for a loop when he threw the ball.
Yeah.
And you can do some of that. My issue has always been the two quarterback system. There are examples of it working, but more often than not, it takes your offense out of a rhythm. And Michigan looked like an offense out of rhythm for the vast majority of Saturday night. And I don't know that you feel good about that situation with Texas looming. Imminent.
Nobody is sitting there going, hey, we're comfortable. Bring on Texas. As a competitor, you're saying bring on Texas, but you have to have great improvement by the O-line, improvement by the wide receivers, improvement by your quarterback, and you've got to have a better feel in the backfield of who you're going to hand the ball to first.
Well, and I think you and I have the same takeaway. Mullings should be the number one pace setter running back for this team because he runs through contact, because he hits what's blocked, and he runs hard. I don't always see that from Donovan Edwards. I thought the biggest drive of the game for Michigan, they finally got the ground game going. The O-line settled in a little bit, right? It's finally a one-score game. The O-line settled in, and who was the running back that was plowing forward? It wasn't Donovan. It was Mullings.
Yeah, And I think Khalil Mullings is better on first and second down than Donovan is. Donovan, to me, appears to be more of a change-up pitch that you bring in when things are going well. You need the okay, we know that this one, it's been working. Donovan is the one that can break it the rest of the way. We saw that time and time again, whether it was Penn State last year, it's in the national championship game, it was Ohio State down in Columbus 2 years ago. Like, he has that potential. But what we've seen last year, and we've seen in one instance so far this year, is that Khalil Mullings is the guy that if there's not a hole there, he's going to make one, and he's going to be able to carry defenders versus, you know, there was one that was fairly well blocked. There's a linebacker, one linebacker in the hole, and he made the tackle on Donovan Edwards.
248-539-9797. We've put the number out for Michigan fans to react to what they saw in the first game. Good enough for a win? Was it good enough? And concerns that you do have. It's okay to have concerns. I think it's week one. You saw a lot of sloppy play across college football. You reserve the right to improve, as always say.
Yeah, they did practice yesterday.
Right, yes. They are looking to get better. They're going to need to get better to beat Texas, and I think that's obvious.
Here's what encourages me about young players is you can tell them, and this is good for Ohio State, because not that they have young players, but they have new players in a system. And this goes for Oregon, where you have a lot of transfers, new players in a system, that sometimes it takes a little bit of time for them. You could tell them, this is what you have to do, this is what the defense is going to do, how they're going to react. But until you actually feel it, see it, do it, you don't really understand what the coach is trying to tell you. And then all of a sudden you have that aha moment, and there should be a whole lot of aha moments when they watch the film. You know, if for Donovan Edwards, hey, you know, the defense flows and they're loaded up front side. How about cut it back? Oh, okay. And I don't know that it happens for him because this is year four. He's not new to the system. But for Evan Link, right tackle, who, you know, had some moments where he played well, others where he didn't. And you're playing next to Gio. It's a new combination. You have a center in there, Dom Jadis, who's his first start, first time on the field. All of these first things where you get a chance to look at the film and say, I understand what you were telling me now because I tried it my own way. And it didn't work.
The quarterback thing, I'll go back to it. Alex Orji, I think 12% of snaps he played. Sharon said his role will continue to grow. So they are going to play a two quarterback system.
And if that's what the talent dictates, then that's what you have to do. Is it ideal? No.
Because I think the concern, while you can break tendency, is that these kind of reveal your play in some ways, right? Like Orji in the game, it's going to be tendency heavy run.
Oh yeah,
with some exceptions,
two balls,
right?
Are
you at a disadvantage?
90 to 95% of the time, 100%, you're at a disadvantage. So how do you break those tendencies? And you think, okay, well, you can't break a tendency or set a tendency on the first sudden change drive where you get a turnover, you get the ball at the 35-yard line, you go in and score. Mm-hmm. Like, that probably was a designed run, and then all of a sudden, the linebacker, nice decision by Alex Orji to, you know, throw the ball, but that's a 3-yard throw. You or I, who are not known as quarterbacks, should be able to complete that ball.
Right.
And then you roll out later in the game. You're not hurried. You've got a wide open receiver, but you bounce on the ball. Like, that was another opportunity to break a tendency.
Yeah, I guess we would all acknowledge not having a clear-cut number one quarterback is not good. It's not ideal, because now you are going to have to break up the rhythm of your offense. You're going to have to reveal tendency by who you put in. You don't allow either of them to command the position. And this battle that was supposed to be settled is no longer settled. And now the game plan is play two.
What the quarterback battle, you think there's a quarterback controversy? I think it was pretty clear that Davis Warren is the quarterback. I don't know that anybody wants Alex Orji to come in and throw the ball 25 times.
I don't know. Okay. Sharon Moore wants to play both of them. Call it a controversy, don't call it a controversy. I would call it an issue. I'd call it a conundrum. I would call it a problem.
A conundrum?
Yes. Conundrum, if you really want to be honest with it.
Oh, wow.
I mean, again, you can give me Chris Leak and Tim Tebow. There are very few examples of it. 248-539-9797. How do Michigan fans feel about this? And before I get the you're overreacting phone call this morning, we did this before the game. I put this out ahead of time to get in front of this because I saw this as a real issue, and now some of you saw it as well.
Wow, you're smart.
Really smart, John.
Yeah. Hats off. Even though I'm not wearing a hat.
Well, maybe if Michigan had looked at their quarterback situation in the offseason, they wouldn't have these questions to kick off this season.
We can go through this like, hey, we need a third baseman.
Phone calls, ticket texts. We have pages of them. Your spot's on the phones next. It's 97.1.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.